Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. This is Ann Ortley. I am sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and I'm an astrologer full-time. Love my life. And I meet with two of my astrology friends every week, and the three of us take you through what's going on in the week ahead, and then we talk a little bit about how you can work with the energy, what you need to do with it, and then we take calls from listeners. So with no further ado, I will introduce my cohorts. Heather?
Hi, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm just getting used to this area, and we've had some tornadoes go north of us, tornadoes go south of us, but we've been okay this week.
Oh, okay, that's good.
It's been very exciting on the weather front.
On the weather front, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And next, Mark?
This is Mark Wohl, also in New York along with Ann, mm-hmm. and I'm over on the other side of the island of Manhattan. And watching the weather here, too. We're not doing tornadoes, but we are doing heat waves, mild heat waves.
Yeah, big heat waves.
It's like the good old days.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the old days, you know.
What good old days?
Yeah, the good old days.
The good old days.
Overheated. And you had to figure out ways to cool down.
Cool down before the world ended. So we had a couple letters from listeners. So we'll talk about those, and we also like our calls from our listeners, so we will see where we're going with it. So what do you guys notice in the week ahead? I kind of am, like, really excited about it, actually, for a few reasons.
For a while now, right?
I am. I'm like, ooh, new week, yay. We have Saturn going into Libra, which I think is going to be much fun, because he loves being in the sign of Libra, and when Saturn can be well-behaved, that's one of the signs he's actually well-behaved in. Because Libra is all about partnership, relationship, balance, equality, fairness, restriction, limitation, and relationship and sharing that back and forth kind of energy where Saturn always seeks to balance us and structure us. So Saturn into Libra is fun, and that happens on Wednesday. And he had a little journey in Libra at the beginning of the year. He was there in November and December, January, February. Then he went back into Virgo to clean up some messes. And then on Wednesday, he's done. Done with Virgo for 30 years.
And we Virgos?
All the Virgos are happy. Yay! As a Virgo, I know, Heather, I'm like dancing around my living room.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how do you feel about this transition?
I'm ecstatic in many ways. Although I have many planets that are going to be hit by this. But Saturn moves back into its opposition with Uranus. And he hits it exactly. We're already feeling this week minor earthquakes all around the globe. One in Maryland, a few in Alaska, all around the globe. And we see that with the Saturn Uranus. It shakes our foundations. But those little earthquakes like we're seeing now, which are 2.3 and 3-point something earthquakes, help prevent the bigger shakedowns because it's just minor adjustments along the way and relieve the tension. And we really have to take that parable for the rest of our lives. How can we make the smaller adjustments so we don't feel the big, enormous overhauls? Because there's a lot moving and shaking. And I'm certainly seeing that in the psyches of many of my clients who feel some great disjuncture or discontinuity or as something is shifting in them, and they're not quite conscious of it yet. They haven't quite shifted, but it's mid-process. And I'm seeing some very hopeful changes coming out of this, but right now people are in the, it's shifting place for many people. As these Saturn moves into this opposition, they both move into their square with Pluto, which will be that T-square will be affecting us for quite a while now. It's going to be one planet after the other is going to set that off. And for the rest of the month, we have Mars moving into, he's still in Virgo, Venus and Mars both in Virgo, which we'll talk more about later, because on its social-emotional aspects of that have been really interesting. But as Mars moves into Saturn, be kind to yourself is the first and foremost piece. It will be testing the edges. It's going to be very interesting to see, as we watch the plug holding, that Saturn plug holding at the bottom of the ocean over the British Petroleum well, the image of, you know, Saturn can be good. It can be restraint. It can form a container. It can direct and focus us. Will that hold? You know, it's such a powerful image for what's bubbling up in people's psyches right now. So will that hold? Can we contain and work with it? Can we work with what's the matter that's coming up from our psyches? Can we pay attention to it, be kind about it, and use it in a healing way? So I see all of that being stirred up underneath everything else we do under the normally happy, friendly, sunny, social summer days. Mark, what do you see?
Well, I would say that the sun going into Leo is also going to be fun, and it forms a trine to Uranus, and that sun trine Uranus will help out with some of these pressures. You know, it brings in a little ability to sort of adapt intuitively, and, you know, that'll help with the Saturn Uranus thing going on.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so we have that this week that we can look forward to.
And
Jupiter goes, Jupiter's station too, right?
Right. It's a big week.
Yeah.
A very big week.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving and shaking.
Moving and shaking. All over the place. It's a wild one. And if we look at it, we kind of say, okay, here we are, the middle of the summer, really, not the middle, but the beginning, early beginning part of the summer, where we're really learning on some very fundamental level what the, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. And this T-square, which is choice point, is what I'm kind of thinking of it as, you know, when they do those election things and they go, decision 19, whatever, decision 2001.
Oh, yeah.
This is decision time, where we're all going to be making major decisions around the direction of our life. And either we're going to be making it or other people are going to be making it for us, but we're going to be feeling it. And so when that happens, what we have to do is say, you know, I'm in the process. I'm working on this stuff. How do I handle it? And the more we can give ourselves permission to do it, to do what we really, really, truly want to do, that's the place to stand. The other thing I've noticed is because of the T-square, which is Saturn in Libra, soon to be, but right now at Virgo, and then opposite Jupiter, Uranus, and then squaring Pluto, is we're at this crossroads where we really are going to feel the desire to not necessarily own our own stuff and to blame other people or yell at other people or complain about people. And, you know, as an example of kind of the T-square gone amok is Mel Gibson, you know, that whole kind of craziness that he's been going on about with, you know, leaving all those ranting messages on his ex-girlfriend's thing. But it also is that, you know, and everybody jumping in and going, okay, you know, I vote for Mel. Oh, I think, you know, I think she set him up, you know, whatever. It's all projection. And we're in the mode right now where people,
Mercury Neptune.
Yes, where people are going to be putting stuff on us or we're going to be putting stuff on other people. So the whole thing, I think, with this is remember to be kind. You know,
exactly.
It's about being kind. And if we can't be kind, maybe you shouldn't say it or maybe you shouldn't do it or, you know, just give yourself that extra moment of silence where you kind of go, okay, I am, let me think about whether I really want to attack this person or whether I really want to say something unkind. And I have heard lots of unkindness lately. You know, people writing nasty emails, sending, you know, doing mean things, you know, behind the scenes. And people are just kind of, you know, not really, right now everybody's feeling very vulnerable and a little bit like they're 15 again. And if you're, you know, you're getting nasty emails or you're saying nasty things about people, it's one of those times where everybody's stuff is up, you know, and everybody's feeling very vulnerable. So, you know, it's also about recognizing that vulnerability as part and parcel of this energy and what that feels like. And that, I think, is also a very important part of this transformation.
I was just looking at Mel Gibson's chart. He does have, apparently, his moon at 00 Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So his moon is taking the brunt. You know, Uranus has been opposed to it. Jupiter's opposed it. The whole T-square has been ringing his moon off like a bell for several years now, and will for another year.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is Saturn comes to his moon, that it's his ex-wife that's supporting him, because Saturn is often history and tradition and the past, an older, more mature approach. On the moon, the mother of his children is then a voice of support for him in the midst of this, which is an interesting part of the process. It's his Mars-Saturn conjunction in Scorpio that just can't keep its mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't. And Mars and Saturn are in the sky together right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part. We're having anybody who has a Mars-Saturn aspect is having a natal excitation right now,
mm-hmm.
and feeling very, you know, rawr, kind of energy. Yeah.
But I also see that with Venus and Mars both in Virgo, with the asteroids Hygieia, which is the mind-body, we see as symbolizing the mind-body connection, and Vesta, the asteroid that talks about where we tend to sacrifice ourselves or where we, you know, can, on a good day it's where we offer ourselves, and on a bad day it's where we sacrifice ourselves. So this lineup in Virgo, it's the middle of the summer, we'd like to be kicking back, doing nothing, but this lineup in Virgo keeps that pressure on everything from employment, because Virgo is about work, about dharma, about improvement and growth. So with this lineup in Virgo, it's kind of hard to sit back in your hammock and do nothing and not feel guilty about it. And one of the ways, so it can run a pretty... It's wanting to, you know, always weeding a little bit, doing a little bit around the house, the house improvements, the self-improvements, the correcting other people. We have to watch with that. And it's, you know, Virgo likes to process relationship for fun, and it will sit around and analyze and solve the woes of the world and pick at things and philosophize. You know, this is bonding, which is okay. But watch the tendency to criticize others. I mean, it can be great fun to rank on somebody. I saw on Facebook today someone posted a quote from a South Carolina beauty pageant when asked, you know, what did she think of how little American students knew about geography. And she went on to prove in her answer that not only did she not know where America was on the map, but she couldn't finish a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun to criticize her. And people went on about that with great glee. Now, in reality, this looks like the woman that needed compassion rather than jumping on her. But finding some place where people could feel guilt-free to be critical takes the relief off them. In the long run, they have to go back and move past that and enjoy that witty moment, that pokey moment. But let it go and see that when we're hard on other people, even in humor, let alone when we're really picking at them, when we're hard on other people, we tend to automatically be hard on ourselves and that inner voice. And I'd say this week one of the most important pieces is to learn to be kind to ourselves, to learn to be kind to ourselves, because it is so easy to start in and start that critical voice and be hard on ourselves rather than take and say, not what did I do wrong, but what can I do differently next time? Not what did they do wrong, but how can I help them learn what I need more in the future? Not what they should do about it, but what I need. And just keep it in that self-responsible voice with kindness to use that Virgo lineup for good, not ill, in the week ahead.
And actually, Saturn going into Libra should help with that.
I'm hoping.
It should make people a little nicer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. I mean, you know, it at least make them more balanced.
I think it will cause people that are in relationship, and that could be work partnerships or in romantic relationships or allied countries, that partnerships are going to be the place where we have work to do and karma to work out for the next few years.
Right.
Be less self-critical, less hard on ourselves. It might help with the employment situation as Saturn gets out of Virgo. But let's see what's happening with partnerships and learning new relationship skills and how to hold together in the challenging times.
Well, and I think one of the things we forget when a planet changes signs is that we've graduated. You know, mm-hmm. So Saturn in Virgo, which is really good at criticizing and noticing problems and faults, is supposed to stop
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, I'm not going to criticize and fault. It's not a higher, lower authority level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the boss employee or the boss servant or the servant slave, you know, to the person who they know more than you. It's about you agreeing to assume your equal position, agreeing
mm-hmm.
to stand up and step into your role as an authority and be a partner with authority. Saturn wants you
mm-hmm.
to partner with him now. He doesn't want to train you anymore. When he's in
mm-hmm.
Virgo, he's showing you how to do things. He's below the horizon from Aries to Virgo of the Anima Mundi, saying the job is to learn the skills. Now that he rises above the horizon, he says, you should have the skills. You should know
mm-hmm.
what you're supposed to do now, or not should, because Saturn actually uses the word should a lot. You know what to do now. Go out and do it. I'm expecting
mm-hmm.
you to go out in the world and show them what you got. And
mm-hmm.
that's the task. So as he moves up, we're going to be feeling the pull to step up our own game, to kind of move up to the next level. And you know, one of the analogies I've been using with clients is we're on an escalator, you know, we're on a cosmic escalator, and your job is, you know, the people ahead of you help you, and the people behind you, you help. And we're kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that energy. So, but the other thing, you know, when the sun goes into Leo, we actually get into the fixed part of summer. So we really feel summer settling in. And we also have sun trine Uranus this week, which is an exciting aspect. So we're going to be really feeling like we want to do new things. We want to break free because the sun at zero of the fire is going to trine Uranus and Jupiter at zero and say, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's get this up, let's go, let's conquer the world. And the sun is also going to sextile Saturn and say to him, you know, let's go do stuff. And so it's kind of an interesting week because within all the changes, there's a lot of new energy coming in because there is so much changing. So
mm-hmm. later on in the week, more.
More later
in
the week, yeah. Yeah, with the Jupiter station and with the shift of Saturn. So
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of interesting. And also Chiron enters Aquarius this week too. I mean, he is going backwards, but it still counts. So that always, like, kind of a little. And then, you know, if you do trans-Neptunians, which I do when I do my business work or my business consulting, we also have Poseidon stationing, which is water and emotion and feeling. So there's
mm-hmm.
deep energy of feeling rising. And then when Jupiter
mm-hmm.
stations, he stations in a square to Pluto. So he's
mm-hmm.
he's like stepped right on there going to Pluto, yo, big guy, let's do it. And the two of them kind of are in a wrestling match all this week. So it's an interesting week. I think it's going to be difficult emotionally, but powerful. And so we go, okay, ready, next, what do we do?
And, you know, there will be times when it will be just easier to lay low, to just be cool and practice not saying something unless it's useful.
Unless it's
our
kind
own
to.
Thought patterns.
Kind
right,
to.
Unless it's kind,
kind
and useful.
Kind and useful.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that with Mercury in Leo still, I've noticed that when people are feeling self-critical and defensive or feeling emotional, the tendency is to act out, to overplay their hand. So it's been pretty hard. I've been coaching a couple of groups at various different jobs where I'm kind of coaching a few people involved, and everybody has been doing the melodrama instead of going up to the next person and saying, you know, when you said that Friday, it kind of hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing that simple. And first there has to be the melodrama, then there has to be the sob, then there has to be the makeup, and then we can take it from there. So good information is coming out in the process, but I'm asking people to slow down and say it as clearly, you know, tell a story if they need to involve the Leo side of it, but say it clearly rather than they don't have to amp up the volume to make the point.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's how they have to do it, to hear their own point, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. And, Mark, if you were going to tell people what to do this week, what would you suggest? Mark? Did he fall off the phone?
Oh, maybe yes, he has. Come back.
I didn't hear the bell ring. Usually the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. There he's back. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I said, what did you...
I just, wait a second.
Yeah. You, the bell didn't ring, so I was like, ooh, the
yeah,
bell didn't
no,
ring.
No, I had to go and get the computer.
No, no problem. I just was like, are you there?
Yeah.
No problem. I was just saying, what did you think about, like, what you would say to people about working with the energy this week?
Well, I think really the major thing to pay attention to is the Saturn-Uranus, because this is the end of the opposition part that they've been going through. So this is the fifth hit, and then we're done with that. And, of course, it moves us more into that cardinal T-square, but the actual Saturn-Uranus is going to ease up now. And so I feel like, you know, we need to pay our full respects to that and sort of realize whatever we're going to out of it. And Saturn-Uranus, it really is about balancing out the need for structure and responsibility with the need for change and intuitively figuring out something rather than following the rules. And the fact is we need both of those in our lives. So we have an opportunity this week to look and see, what is the balance? Am I overbalanced toward the more rational, disciplined approach, or am I more overbalanced toward the change at any cost? You know, I can't do it like anyone else. Let me out of here. Rebellion. And we'll have both, but see where is the balance for you and try to bring them into balance and say, let me find where in my life I can express the one and where in my life can I express the other, and find how both of them are about your life, and both of them bring both steadiness and change. So it's about balancing those things. And this week is a good chance to like look at that sort of one last time for this time around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the theme stays with us, but the energy is real strong. So that's what I would focus on this week.
Right, like how to work with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the theme of it is you've been working at all this month, these last, really since the fall of 2008, and
mm-hmm.
it's had five parts. This is the fifth and final part. So it's like, boom, how have you changed your life? Have you changed your life?
Right.
What have you actually done? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that bigger vision of how that looks and what that looks like, yeah.
Yeah, and where in my life do I go to get discipline and order, and where in my life do I go to get the breakout, you know, think outside of the box and unexpected solutions to things, and sort of then know what those are for going forward, so that it's kind of like you can bookmark them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then realize going forward, I don't need the rebellion thing, I need the order thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then in another situation, I don't need all this order and responsibility, I need to do something totally wacky. And if you've got those bookmarked from feeling that tension that they've been going through for a couple of years, then you're able to pick what it is, which one is appropriate, and just go there, do it, and not have to feel the kind of struggle between them.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, no, I think if you throw in Pluto and recognize there's a real power dynamic that's out there at the same time. You know.
Yep.
And really it's a balancing act, because the two of them balance off of Pluto, and they're both talking to Pluto. So,
right.
You know, I've had a lot of, well, this one said this and that one said that, and you know, like Heather said, the dramas, but I think it's also dramas from our week in our sad place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a drama that you couldn't handle, except the tension is pushing on such sensitive parts of our chart. and there's an element of it that's public. So mm-hmm. the public part is the part that's bringing up a lot of the bullying or the shame energy, you know, where it's like, okay, you know, you can do this, but I'm gonna shame you, or I'm gonna show the world who you are, or you can be a bully, but if you're a bully, then I'm gonna stop you from doing it. It's very much a sit on it kind of energy. And it's so when you feel that energy being really sat on, your job is to say, okay, I'm probably better served by not doing anything here. Just letting it open and see what I get when I sit in the open space. So at any rate, we have a couple letters from readers, so I will
let's take it away.
We'll read away. I really appreciate your show. This is from Anne in Alabama, and wanted to see if you'd look at my predicament. My birthday is December 16th, 57. I've been a photographer most of my life, but at a point of either admitting that it's caused me to be financially secure and abandoning the effort, or trying once again to revive it. Well, can you shine any light on this decision about what to do? I'm sort of have a leg in photography and one in Shakespearean literature. Also, in
general... What was her birth information again?
Well, she didn't give us actually the time as I'm looking at this. December 16, 57. So we can't really do that.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Never mind.
Done.
So, Anne, send us your time, and we'll do it next week. Sorry about that.
Time and place of birth.
Well, I got the place, Montgomery, but I didn't get the time. All right. And sorry, Anne. Write again. We need the time, too.
Please do.
All right. The next one is from Bill, and it says, Empire Collapse Question. We always get good questions from Bill. Hi, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Virginia. In March issue of Foreign Affairs, Neil Ferguson writes in an article called Empires on the Edge of Chaos. Even the elite is reading this stuff, apparently. He cites a number of periods of rapid decline, and I'd like to know what the astrological correlatives are to these times, if there is one. The Roman Empire from 406 to 52, the Ming Dynasty from 1636 to 44, the Bourbon Monarchy 89 to 93, Habsburg, Ottoman, Romanov monarchies, 1722, and the British Empire from 45 to 56, and the Soviet Union, 85 to 90. Rapid decline, Uranus. I know 85 to 90 was Uranus, and I know the 45 to 56 was Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Ottoman and Roman was Uranus.
Can you give me the first two, the Roman one again?
The Roman was 406 to 52. What was your
Was from
406.
Anywhere from from like 11406
to 452.
Mhm. Okay, but there's a whole time period in there, and those aren't necessarily
astrological. Yeah, the Ming Dynasty
that we see. Mm-hmm.
Well, these are basically 4-year or 5-year time periods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that feels 85 to 90,
mm-hmm.
Ming Dynasty 36 to 44. So I think that's a research question we can do next. We can look at
I would like to take that. If you could send that on and we can have that written out, we would love to do some research on that. I'd
get
love
back
those
to
the,
like the Empire Collapse. Yeah, because mundane astrology is one of my all-time favorites. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we had reader questions, but we need to do a little more work.
And yes, if we go back over a series of aspects, you usually find a lot of, there's some patterns of the outer planets changing sign at the same time, and you'll see the planets that cannot, the countries that cannot adapt when the change happens are the ones that tend to fall.
Right.
And you can see it over and over again through the pattern. It's also interesting to look at the solar flare cycles, but if we have any evidence, if it's back in the time, in the last couple of hundred years, we had information with the solar flares.
Yeah.
So we'll do some nice research with that for next week.
Okay, that sounds cool. Our research home. We have homework, gang. How exciting. Saturn going into Libra, we're going to have to work a little harder. All right, and we have a couple callers, and our call-in number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So let's see who we have here. Hello, 914. How are you?
Hi, Anne.
Hi. Yep.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Did you have a question for us?
I do. I definitely feel the crossroads, and I think I have to make decisions for most of my parts of my life. And So if I have to choose one or not, I just want to know if you wanted to look at my chart and see if anything.
Yes, but with you. When were you born? And
I might be
yes,
in your
first
record.
First of all, when were you born? Okay.
It's January 31st at 79, 3:30 a.m. in Oak Park, Michigan. That's in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Again, what was the time?
3:30 a.m.
Thank you.
And the year was?
79.
Yeah. All righty. So for the listeners at home, January 31, 1979, 3:30 in the morning in Oak Park, Michigan. And Oak Park has to be two words because it ain't finding it.
And do you know if that was in Kalamazoo County or Oakland County?
That's in Oakland, thanks.
Thanks, because there's two Oak Parks.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It's like in Buffalo, so, there's like there's a bunch of Bronxes or
<right.
laughs> Brooklyns in New York. I was like, wow, seven
yeah.
or eight of them. Yeah.
So what was your question? And you were saying you're at a crossroads and you
yeah.
feel like you got to make a decision. And is it a decision in place or in people or what? Where? How can we focus your question?
Well, I have a lot of things going on. And can I just ask if you see anything coming up for kind of like early August or mid-August? I feel like things are going to have to start, you know, to come.
Well, your progressed moon comes to conjunct your natal Uranus. And even though that's easier than Uranus coming to conjunct your progressed your natal moon, you're still it's a, still a sense of change and discontent. Your progressed moon in your 12th house about 2 months ago started sending you into a journey inside yourself. So your work won't be necessarily that visible to the public, even though there's a lot going on to affect it. But it looks to me like you're feeling things so intensely and so so strongly that it will. It's a little hard for you to process the way you might normally like. I'm trying to pull up your progressions here in a better way, clearer way. Why is it not doing that for me? So if it looks to me like you're in by diving into your own experience here, it may be a little harder for you to so much is up that it's a little harder for you to see clearly and to sort the facts to make the decisions that you have to make. Mars is coming, just came across your midheaven. So you really are feeling the urge to change in your work situation. You feel you may have felt that even this last week really pushing on you. And that will be there for most of the next next 6 weeks, nudging you to make some major changes and to speak up, maybe even feeling a little difficult in the process. But it's moving that Mars today is directly opposed to your moon, and that can lead you feeling like it's, you know, just restless. It's got something's got to go, something's got to shift. But going back and forth between that discontent and feeling a little insecure and like, oh God, what could go wrong? It could this could happen, could that could happen? But knowing that you've got some changes in coming up.
Okay. I think I'm doing well with the those feelings of insecurity because I've been taking time to process and build
Good.
Up the confidence. So I'm hoping that's why I'm hoping I can actually make these decisions. I'm looking at things differently.
Excellent.
Okay.
That sounds good.
And is there a specific decision? Because again, I think this is going to fall in place for you fairly clearly once not that far away. But I don't know if what I want you to watch is that you may be being nudged to make a decision by circumstances a little bit faster. Your progressed Mercury heads into Aries on August 17th, and I have a feeling the decisions will follow very quickly after that.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, it's really in most areas of my life, so this actually, Heather, that was really helpful just to give me some dates and tell me how it would feel. And so that
by the end of August, I think you'll be a lot clearer than you are now.
Okay. All right.
Mark, you have anything you want to add?
Well, you, while Saturn was moving through Virgo, that was the time of your Saturn return. So that was during the last couple of years, and you've had to make some sort of long-range decisions with that. And I think what you're having to decide now is how whatever shook down through that, the decisions you made, you know, for how you're going to structure your life and career choices and so on. Things that you let go of, you finally realize, okay, those are let go of. And I decided to hold on to certain other things, and now I have to make some more specific decisions of how to work with those. So you're on track if that's where you are. It's sort of, you know, a lot of the larger choices have been made, and now it's more narrowing and focusing. So if it feels sort of worrisome, you know, and you know, you're wondering, am I even thinking about the right things? Just figure if it's something that's drawing you to more concrete decisions and more focused, pointed kind of decisions, then those are the ones that you want to be making. And,
absolutely.
You know,
not the reactionary ones. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Keep looking for the ones that move you forward in terms of what you've figured out over the last couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely. And I think when you get comfortable with all the changes that are coming, you know, part of what's been happening is there's been a releasing and letting go of a lot of old emotional work. With the opposition from Saturn to your moon, and also with Uranus going over it. So the changes that have been, you know, when the Pisces moon receives the changes like that, it takes a while sometimes for the water to settle. And even though you like moon Uranus, because your moon trines it, it's about saying to yourself, okay, all these changes that have reverberated through my being, if the water settles and I can see clearly, then I can make a decision. And that time is coming fairly soon. And so it's about letting the water settle and standing in the stillness and listening to the inner heart. And that will help a lot. And also, you know, with the restlessness, with all the Sag energy, you want to kind of take off and make a decision and know what you're doing immediately because I'm a Sag and I got to. And now the universe is saying, sit, sit, sit. And you're like, ah, and it's like, no, sit, it's okay. We're not ready for you yet. And it will be soon once the water settles and clears. So it's really, you know, trusting that process that you're right where you're supposed to be, and maybe you're not supposed to have an answer for the decision yet because it's not time. So.
All right.
Yeah, so cool. So thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Oh.
All right, and our callers, if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-215-8881. And remember, when you call, press 1. So your hand gets raised, because if you just are calling and listening and you don't have your hand raised, I won't call on you. So there's a 972-743 number out there that doesn't have their hand raised. So I'm not going to call on you. Oh, they raised their hand. There we go. Okay. So pressing that magic button 1. Hello, 972. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you have a question for us?
I did. My name's Natalie, and I'm calling from Oklahoma. And
welcome.
I just had a question about probably work and love, possibly, and family. Anything coming up for me?
Okay.
And Natalie, when were you born?
12/17/71 in San Angelo, Texas.
And what time?
8:03 a.m.
Okay. So, Natalie, it's mainly work you're looking at because you've got a lot of changes in your belief systems, really.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, belief systems are changing, and that's the space.
Yes.
It's what you think is possible for you. And one of the things that's really being questioned, or what you're really questioning, is dogmatic belief systems that maybe you've held or you inherited when you were little. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of going, I don't know if I believe that anymore. And once you change your mind or your vision, everything else shifts. So that's what's really going on. The way the T-square is hitting your chart is it's saying to you, what do you believe now? What's your vision now? What's the truth? And if you know that, if you can define the truth for you, because, you know, all that Sag energy.
And that's a lifelong question.
Lifelong question, always revising. But all that Sag energy with a balsamic moon says, I'm here karmically to understand what the truth is. And as long as I answer what the truth is for you, not necessarily anybody else's truth, but your truth, then it will help. And right now there's a lot of pressure on what's the truth, especially you're feeling the need on some level to really make decisions about what's true. And you don't know some level. So that's part of the problem, is not knowing what's true, particularly around firstborn children, or around the stories that your parents told you about themselves, even, you know. So it's reflecting across all the areas of your life, because basically all the things you said, that the family, the work, and the relationships are all about the truth. And it's what the truth is from your perspective. It doesn't matter their perspective. It's your version of the truth. And it's slippery because you've got Mars and Pisces in the third house saying truth is changeable. And there's a part of your Sag energy that goes, no, truth isn't changeable. There is a truth. What is the truth? And this is a chart that has to pay attention to the actions, not listen to what the words are. You've got to watch the behavior. And the behavior is where it's at. And that will help a lot in helping you assess what the truth is.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Because, you know, do you know your chart, Natalie?
I kind of look at it and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I listen to podcasts.
For the audience that's listening, that you were born right before right during the dark of the moon, right before the new moon, with your sun and moon in Sagittarius behind a Capricorn rising. You're born right after sunrise, so they're all piled up, and you have Mercury, Jupiter, moon, and the sun all in the 12th house. So loaded 12th house energy. It was such a inner search as a child. You had such a big inner world that not necessarily anybody knew about. And you have this directness and honesty that you can really walk with people into some dark places, and you can be that voice that can say what's really going on in the room. And that Sagittarian, you know, Sagittarius myth, the emperor has no clothes, the one who can just say, hey, you're not wearing anything, guy, was definitely a Sagittarius. So you're willing to say the truth when no one else is willing to go there. But the trouble is figuring out what that is, as Anna was saying. Pluto came over your ascendant in the last year, and it's gone back and forth over your ascendant. You have really gone through a personal revolution. You've been doing a decade of deep personal work, and yeah, the results of it are beginning to show. So you said you have been through a revolution this year.
Well, I feel like in 10 years, some things have even come around full circle, and it's really kind of strange.
Yep.
But yeah,
it is kind of strange, and it's very powerful. And the work that you're doing now, it looks to me like a result of the work that you've been doing inside yourself. Now, the next 2 months are a little tricky astrologically. You'll feel better in about 3 months because your progressed moon at 27 degrees of Taurus is about to conjunct your progressed Saturn, and they're both trining natal Saturn. There's a lot of kind of karmic finishings. It's like you're reading the last chapter of a lot of books, so you may be having to hold people accountable. You may be feeling somewhat restricted, as if you have to finish projects before you're ready to go on to the next phase. But soon your progressed moon leaves Taurus, enters Gemini, conjuncts your natal Saturn, and gives you room to talk about new work and the new chapter and some fresh energy in your life. And that's 3 to 4 months. So
wow. It's gonna be a while.
When you had, did you have a work question that's in
I'm unemployed at the moment. I'm unemployed at the moment, but I just recently moved to Oklahoma, back to kind of my roots. I was born in Texas, but the only one in my family that was. My roots are here, and I've just recently moved back.
Good.
And so my grandmother, my aunts, and we've kind of had a few feuds, and it's just kind of weird. I just started going back to church with my grandmother, and I remember what it was like when I was a kid, and, you know, lots of things are coming back. And it's nice to be back with family. But I'm unemployed still at the moment. And I just recently had a baby about a year ago.
Congratulations.
So
that was the firstborn that Anne was talking about.
Well, he's not my firstborn. He's my fourth.
He's your fourth. You still have a baby.
But I have been having issues with my firstborn, who is 15. So this is a surprise baby for me. It's been a huge, major life change again.
I bet.
It's almost like a second generation baby. So because my oldest is 15.
Right.
So I've had major stuff going on, and I'm still unemployed, and I'm a single parent, so just still looking for employment.
What were you doing beforehand? Because that 12th house, you have a real gift for working behind the scenes and a real gift for working with kids.
Yes, I was I was a substitute teacher. I just got my degree in psychology in 08. And got a certificate to teach special ed, and I was working as a sub, and then I had a baby, and then I moved to
a different state. You just got your degree in psychology.
Yes.
Have you considered being a school psychologist?
Yes, I have.
Because
and that requires a little bit more schooling.
Really, you know, it helps people see the truth. And how it wants to do that exploration inside. You've done so much work inside yourself. You've done so much work in your own family about how do you find your way in tough situations. And I think you also have a pretty irrepressible, you feel everything, but you have a pretty irrepressible hopefulness that, you know, give you lemons, you'll make lemonade. You may cry about it first, but you'll make lemonade.
Right.
You know,
I
that
inside,
you feel it.
But the outer world sees me as this happy person that really can make change and make lemonade. But I do cry inside sometimes. It's like,
I bet. You know, you feel everything. Like you said, you feel everything, and it's hard for you to decide. But you have this, you know, this buoyancy that makes it so you do survive and you do keep going in circumstances that would whoop other people.
Okay.
And, you know, you're in the right field. I think working behind the scenes in schools and working with kids in the schools, and I think that you would be, you're a good teacher, but you'd be less bored being their counselor, and that you like that intense one-on-one work. And I would sort of work your, see what it would take to move into school counseling versus teaching.
Right.
But you may need to continue being a substitute teacher while you're maneuvering into that position.
Okay.
It's just going to be a little tight for the next few months. It'll be very different in about 4 or 5 months.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm excited about it. I know it'll be better. I feel like it's taken forever because we moved here in the first part of March. So, but I'm okay where I'm at. I'm living in a good place, and I'm fine here. So, but I'm ready to start my career. Of course, I had another baby, so it's been a little bit of a setback. But he's a wonderful joy.
It's a lot of work that you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And if you can get your systems in place and get people to help you, and it feels like the family hassles are beginning to. Like the log jam is cleared. You know, there's people, a lot of ruffled feathers around you, but the splinters are out or are leaving.
Okay.
And people are starting to you know, be more cooperative.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Mark, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, you have a, it's kind of a hard line to walk in terms of dealing with systems. It's hard for you to work entirely within a system because you question a lot of things and you're really more interested in the truth as an ideal. And so compromise is not an easy thing for you to get along with.
Okay.
And systems always ask us to compromise and not ask too many questions.
So you need to find a way to
negotiate your way through that and just know that you're different in that way. And so sometimes that means just keeping some things to yourself and flying under the radar. And
okay.
Other times it means setting up a position where you're not going to have to question things or where the system doesn't have to question you. In other words, you're given a fair amount of autonomy. And
okay.
I think the preferable situation for you is going to be to have a fair amount of autonomy where it's recognized that you do what you do well and the system doesn't need to question that. Just watch
okay.
for the results. So
okay.
try to set that up. And failing that, then realize you need to be careful about what you do, what questions you do raise and how you raise them. And
okay.
sometimes they'll have to be more important to you personally, but you might not win them if you bring them out, you know, into a, like, total administrative puzzle.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions or any clarification?
No romance coming up.
You're supposed to be tired. You got a new baby.
Seems like it's been
being
forever.
Away.
I know.
I don't see that romance
I know,
is
I did.
The way to get out of your problems. I think that you're meeting a lot of new people in the coming year. But
yes,
the next few months are more about just getting your act together, getting the family systems in place, getting everybody working well together. And then you probably meet new people through your work with Saturn in Gemini in the fifth house. You'll meet new people more easily through your work, and that you might be finding some old friends or friends of old friends in the process. So
yeah,
I think it's more about
a few old friends and boyfriends.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's more about reconnecting and rebuilding your systems for the next few months. Get, you know, don't, a romance won't solve your problems, but a romance can add great joy to your life and enrich your life in the months ahead and in the years ahead. But first, you have to take care of yourself and work through some of the family karma so you're feeling okay about your life before you take the next step.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you all so much.
You'll probably get some surprises. In like two or three years, when
you're
in the Uranus opposition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
the relationship
to your Venus, yeah.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
It's not this year.
Well, that's all right. I've got my hands full. I really do.
Yeah.
It's just I get a little lonely,
like
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just had a baby, and his father's not in my life, so. And I made a big, you know, a big move, so.
You sure did.
So
you take care of yourself.
But I'm working on me, so.
Yeah.
And that's what's most
And that
important.
Will produce good things.
And the whole changing of
yeah.
your vision of how your life is going to work is really part of the part and parcel of this, so.
Well, sounds great. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
I love to read your forecast every weekend.
Oh, good.
So,
I'm a little late this week. I was away
to it
this
all
weekend.
The time.
Yeah, so
that's all right.
I'm almost ready to go up. It'll go up in probably about an hour or so.
Right.
I have to write them earlier, I think, when I'm on, because summer I'm being very bad on the weekends.
That's all right.
Well,
that's
I'm
all
glad
right.
you like it, though.
I love what you do, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Y'all
take
have
care.
A great evening.
You
take
too.
Care.
Okay.
Thank you, you
Bye.
Too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we have no more callers. It's a nice, hot, summer night. Now, the other thing we also have is a full moon this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Another full moon on the Friday, and it's an interesting moon. One of the images is an army deserter, and the other one is hair bobbed. A woman gets her hair bobbed. And I think of those images. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, when people break up, they get their hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something that they do. It's like, you know, chop the hair off, chop, chop, chop. And like, I'm done. I broke up with them and I shed my Venus, because hair is ruled by Venus. So
mm-hmm.
it's also kind of a fascinating sociological phenomena where they shave their hair or cut their hair or chop their hair. I had one client whose boyfriend, you know, loved her honey blonde hair, and so she dyed it brown when she broke up with him. And then she cut it, but she really dyed it brown. And then now she's gone back to blonde because the process is over. You know, she's on the onto the new thing.
Like that full moon is Sunday night. Is that
yes,
correct?
The full moon is
Sunday.
Next Sunday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found that that full moon is probably one of the wildest social nights of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It really brings up, the full moon in Aquarius, you know, it's dancing in the streets. It's great for any wonderful large scale, you know, for a music festival, for, you know, garden parties, for political action where you're working together. It's not so easy on one-on-one relationships because it's really not about that. It's not about intimacy, but it is about mediating our needs to shine as an individual with our need to be connected to the collective. So it's, you know, how do I shine and make the most of myself and make room for everybody else around me? I mean, but if you want to gather people together and drum all night long, if you want to, you know, put on a concert for your favorite cause, full moon in Aquarius is a great time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I happen to say I like the full moon in Aquarius for no other reason than it always feels so warm. You know, when you're out, I'm out at the beach house, and it's like, the moon rising, and you know, the sun setting, and it's just glorious. It's so beautiful.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Makes you appreciate life. So, it's an interesting week. So for all of our listeners, thank you for listening. And I know the three of us have been watching it and our clients, how crazy this last couple weeks have been. And just know that the next few weeks ahead are going to be very, very wild. And your job in them is to know that it's temporary. It'll be over middle of August. It'll calm down, but the T-square is going to intensify between now and then. And it's going to feel like a real buildup of tension. And your job is to say, I'm really feeling the tension build. And, yeah, that's exactly what they told me would happen. So what do I do with it? I just kind of sit. I don't have to take action because T-squares want us to take action. Or if you're really clear about the action you want to take, and it's in a positive direction as opposed to getting a gun and shooting somebody or leaving nasty messages where they can play them on the Internet for days and days, a la Mel Gibson, then you can take that action because you're going to have a lot of force behind your decisions. So I have people that are moving and people that are closing on houses and people that are doing whatever, and that's all great because they're moving forward. But if you don't know where you're going and you're not sure, you don't have to move, but just watch because you're going to get a lot of information from the heavens that are going to encourage you to kind of dance around and figure out the new path because this is the cosmic crossroads. It's a major turning point in your lifetime and in the lifetime of virtually every person you know. They're all going to look back 10 years from now, the summer of 2010, and say, man, that was a big one. It's one of those big, big summers. And so, Mark, you have anything you want to add? The British lady told us we have 90 seconds.
Yeah, just get the T-shirt. The summer 2010 T-shirt. I was there.
I got to put them up on the website so people can order them.
Right.
The Cosmic Crossroads is coming. So,
right.
We are at the Cosmic Crossroads.
Right. Heather, you have anything you want
to
add?
Go back to when in doubt, be gentle. You know, weed, but focus on the flowers more. And keep remembering if you get feeling indignance or drama building, to slow down and just, you know, what's the quieter truth underneath that? and rest whenever possible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this can be very tiring, too. All right, so this is Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who meet once a week on the phone to give you our cosmological advice. We look at the heavens, we say, as above, so below, as without, so within, and we want to turn you on to astrology and get you all excited to go tell your friends. Ooh, I learned this on astrology class tonight. So my name is Ann Ortley, and I'm signing off from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
And Mark Wolf.
And?
From the west side of Manhattan.
And Mark Waltz from the west side. All right, so goodbye, folks. See you next week. Take care and have a good
bye
week. Watch that Saturn shift Wednesday. Bye.